Most of us do not want to go to school in the cold weather. It's dark, frigid, bone-chilling. The wind sweeps by us at every moment, and we stand and wait for buses or walk outside from our cars, packed in the student parking lots in wind chill temperatures of negative degrees. We walk into the building, complaining to ourselves and our classmates about how cold it is outside. How can they tell us to come to school in this weather? We say. Shouldn't we have a tour delay? We say. The school district would tell you this. By the way, this is from the school district's website. If you want to see this for yourself, you can check out the show notes. It's right there at the bottom of the podcast player on your phone. Quote, every situation is considered separately. Factors such as temperature, wind chill, daylight, road conditions, visibility, and current and future weather forecasts are considered before deciding to delay or close school. The school system will consider delaying if the wind chill temperature is minus 19 degrees or colder at 7 a.m. and whether delaying 2 hours will make a difference in the temperature. The decision is usually made between 5 a.m. and 5:15 a.m. and communicated via various methods. That is just an overview of a whole section of the district's website that details the different factors that go into what they refer to as the weather delay decisions process for Center Grove schools. However, I wanted more than the 21 sentences on this page. I wanted to know what really goes on, to be in the rooms where it happens every day in this weather. So I went straight to the sources.
Dr. Rich Arkinoff, Superintendent, Center Grove Schools.
Dr. Arkinoff is the primary decision maker of Center Grove's weather delays. He decides when the schools...
There's roughly about 8,300 students in Center Grove.
Exactly 8,306 students as of January 9th, 2018, go to school every day.
And if you figure two guardians per student, that's 16,600 adults. And most of those people have jobs and have to be at work at a certain time. And, they have to get things aligned for the next day. So that's why we try to make the decision as much as possible. And if we, as early as possible. And if we make the decision to cancel or delay school, of course, those 16 plus thousand people all have to figure out daycare or childcare or how they're going to get their son or daughter off to school. Of course, if they have older kids, you need to make sure they get up and get to school on their own, maybe, if they're 2 hours later, or what are they going to do all day? It can get pretty hectic for a family, especially a family if they have a large number of kids that they're trying to accommodate. So that's just a small part of it. Some people can take off work, other people can't. They have to be out and about, so they have to figure out care in advance. And so making the decision is just so much more than just students. It's an impact on an entire community. Yeah, it's a little overwhelming sometimes, because you get to know when. There's thousands of people that it affects, and everyone thinks you should have done something else. So a lot of times it can really make you, it can really frustrate you because you're just trying to do what's right for kids. So I always go on the side of safety, and I feel like if I do it because it was the right thing, the safe thing to do, then I can back that and I can support that decision and defend it, It looks like it's really going to happen. We tend to wait until it's pretty close. So we decided probably about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon today that we would have a conversation tomorrow morning about 4:45. And so we have a phone conference then.
That's 4:45 a.m. in the morning.
The first thing I think about always is the safety of the kids. I worry about the little kids out, whether it's really cold or dark, and other drivers can see them. Is it too cold to be standing out there for very long? So that's the first thing I worry about. Secondly, I worry about the high school students. There are a lot of new drivers, first-time drivers sometimes. This might be the very first time they're driving on ice or snow. So I worry about that. Worry about them coming into school and getting into accidents. Even little fender benders, you know, can cause a lot of trouble and cost a lot of money. And somebody can get hurt. So I worry about those things first.
So when I started reporting on this, I started reading a lot of articles on other schools. And one of the big issues that they have are buses. Schools often have a lot of trouble getting buses going in these colder temperatures, which is why I thought, wouldn't we have this problem too?
Usually a two-hour delay is based more upon the safety of the students. It's not for the readiness of the bus, okay? We don't delay or cancel school because buses are not ready.
This is Rick Peterson. He's the director of operations for Center Grove. Essentially for you and me, this means he oversees all the transportation for the school, making sure everything runs smoothly.
Dr. Long and I are usually on the road by 4 a.m. Sometimes I'm out there earlier. We base it on the conditions of how a bus would handle it. So in other words, we drive certain roads to see if those roads, certain subdivisions. We look at stopping conditions, turning conditions, how clear is the roadway? You know, is it safe to be out there for really anybody, much less a bus? A two-hour delay when it's very cold out might not help warm the temperature up any, but kids will stand inside when it's cold out. And so for a bus driver, it buys us daylight. So when we have a two-hour delay when it's extremely cold, a driver will stop and look for the kids running out of the house and to see if kids are waiting somewhere where it's warm than the normal bus stop.
This was something that I didn't expect, but it makes sense, right? The bus drivers have to be able to know what's going on to pick up kids in the morning. And especially when it's cold outside, normal behaviors will change, kids will stay inside, and that might even run out to the bus. Maybe slip and fall, and the bus drivers should be able to see all this. Speaking of bus drivers, how do two-hour delays affect them?
Usually we're here by 5 a.m. every morning. Myself, my routing coordinator, and my lead mechanic, we're here between 5 and 5:15 in the mornings getting things opened up. Drivers will come anywhere between 5:20 to quarter to 6 o'clock. Get the buses started, get them ready to go, get them warmed up, see if they need oil, whatever the case may be. And then they'll get the buses warm and ready to go. Now, on extremely cold days where the temperature is below a certain mark, usually about 7 degrees or a little bit colder, and that includes wind chills, my mechanics and myself, we're in here maybe by 4, starting buses, getting them started, getting them warmed up, ready to go for the drivers when they come in an hour later.
The school system has a process for making decisions on these two-hour delays, and they try to make the best decision they can for the students, staff, and the community. But in the community, this doesn't always seem to come through. A parent had this to say on the Nextdoor social networking site. Quote, "This morning, Dr. Long at Center Grove Schools decided the roads were clear enough for our kids to go. Our bus stop was like a sheet of ice. A high school girl fell, and my middle school son fell and slid under the bus. I've called his office about it. If you feel the streets in your neighborhood or bus stop were slick enough to warrant a delay, let him know. He needs to pay better attention to the roads. Call and talk to his receptionist, Laura. She was very nice. Dr. Long needs to pay more attention. He put my son's life in danger this morning." Attached to her post was the phone number to the administrative office. I asked Mr. Peterson if he knew anything about this.
Did you know anything about that?
Yeah, I did. I talked with the driver. Of course, social media, they tend to build it up a lot worse than what it really truly ends up being. The kid fell down and slid, and his legs went underneath where the doorway opens up. Got up, got back up on the bus. So it wasn't like he slid under the bus by the rear tires and the driver's ready to go. It just said he slid as he was getting ready to get on the bus. So.
The school corporation should take the reactions of parents and students seriously, as the welfare of the district is dependent on them. However, we should also remember that the school system is not perfect and will make mistakes or calls that we don't necessarily agree with.
I always go on the side of safety, and I feel like if I do it because it was the right thing, the safe thing to do, then I can back that.
If our administrators make choices that we feel aren't safe, we should let them know so our schools can become safer and more effective places to learn. Center Grove isn't just a group of schools, teachers, or board members. Center Grove is community, and all of our opinions matter. Thanks for listening to High School. You've reached the credits. But don't leave just yet. We're looking for stories. If you have a story you want us to tell about Center Grove, email us at cgpodcasthighschool@gmail.com. You can find our email in the show notes, as well as links to everything we talked about today. I'm Rich Yarkinoff. This week was edited by me, thanks to Graham Canwit and Nate Lindsay for helping me out. Our advisors are Casey Tedrow and Melissa Warner. You can find us on iTunes as High School, all one word, or at centergrovepublications.com.